You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
Well, from there, we're going to segue into our final share shootout ahead of the elections on SA Inc. stocks and where to hear for SA Inc. And as we just heard from Professor Brian Cantor, he's still despondent at the fact that we're wedded to the developmental state, and we certainly haven't shown the capacity to translate an Asian type developmental model into the South African context. But recent developments have been encouraging for me. I'm still a believer in the reform story should the president get a strong enough mandate, and boy, have the blue horde been all over me for that one. But I do think in the late 50s should be good enough, and it would be typical of us though to get our act together just to see the global cycle turn. So there are all sorts of caveats here. But will a self-help story, let's call it a South Africa Inc. self-help story, will it be enough to catalyze inflows into the market that are sufficient to spark growth and to spark Ramaphosa 2, as it's being called? And if so, what companies are well positioned to benefit if we see a pro-growth cabinet appointed post the general election? Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome John Orford of the Old Mutual Stable Growth Fund at Old Mutual Investment Group. John, welcome.
Good evening. Thanks.
And Peter Armitage, the CEO of Anchor Capital. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, chaps, it's always difficult to do these things. All the usual caveats apply. When we talk about single stocks, it's not a way to build a well-diversified, balanced portfolio. But always, I mean, we do it to have a bit of fun, to highlight some themes and the way that these themes impact companies. And so we can extrapolate on broader market trends. Now, John, I think the risks are glaringly obvious. We know them. Treasury's funding pressures are high and they're mounting. Eskom has been struggling to keep the lights on. There's corruption. There's a lack of confidence. There's a lack of policy certainty. But surely a lot of that is already well known to investors and reflected in market prices. From here, what could spark a potential upside in the SA Inc. story?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a lot of focus on the election and the sort of the precise number that's needed to give Ramaphosa the mandate to go ahead with the reforms. But I think that beyond the actual election, what I'm going to be looking at is, what do they do? And I think the first signal will be the cabinet. Do you appoint, by and large, people who are competent and credible? And then do they begin implementing policies and actually acting on things? So obviously, there's mining and land where there's a lot of uncertainty around that. And so if we see positive action there, that will be positive for markets and for confidence. And the second area is obviously corruption. And I think there we need to give some credit for what's been done. So we've got a credible head of the NPA, a credible head of SARS. And if we just let those institutions get on with their jobs from now on, I think that will be pretty positive for confidence. And, you know, confidence is a difficult thing to define. But if it comes back into business and consumer spending habits, then we could see a reasonable cyclical recovery off what is obviously a very low base now.
And that is another thing that does stand in our favor, Peter, to bring you in here. The fact that that lovely thing called the base effect does appear to be in our favor. And also the fact that our positioning comes on the back of foreigners being eager net sellers of South Africa for most of the last 3 years. So we're obviously underweight many of those discretionary investors and their portfolios in the broader emerging markets basket. So if things do start to turn, it could spark something of a virtuous cycle upwards. So would you add anything to what John has already said?
Well, Michael, I think the confidence story is what it's all about. I think if people have got confidence in the future, there's a lot of companies with a lot of money to spend, a lot of capacity. The banks have got a huge appetite to finance good companies, expanding what they're doing in South Africa. And, you know, from a consumer perspective, I think if you look at something like car sales, people have clearly been holding back. The mood is not to have big capital expenditures. You see it in the results of something like a Massmart. And if you can get a shift and a change, which is, so there's kind of two legs. One is, you know, we think a relatively good investment outcome and a good cabinet will have a very positive impact. The reality might set in a little bit after that. It takes a long time to turn the boat. But if economic growth follows, you know, there's, so it's in our view, South African companies, the SA Inc. shares are cheap if there is a good outlook and there's good economic growth. They're fairly priced if it's a mundane outlook and a continuation of the kind of trends we've seen for the last few years.
Mm.
But I think the key point in investment portfolios is a lot of optionality in SA Inc. shares. And if things go right, you know, you certainly want exposure to them.
And John, adding to that, the cabinet is a big one for me. We saw the president over the weekend at the final rally saying there wouldn't be anyone getting jobs in his cabinet if they had clouds of corruption hanging over them effectively. And the market will be looking for signals that he stays true to his word there. That said, though, John, what are some of the key themes that you're going to be using if you were to use a bottom-up or a top-down approach to selecting South Africa in companies that are really well geared or positioned into any potential recovery?
Yeah, I think it's very important that that one remembers that our market has come from a position a few years ago of being pretty expensive. So we're looking for companies that are cheaper than the average market and also that have some gearing to a pickup in growth. But I think we're not extremely bullish about the growth prospects. We think there will be some cyclical pickup, but so we really want companies that are not pricing in growth as we stand at the moment, because there could still be disappointment there. But companies that will benefit from a broad-based pickup in confidence and spending in the economy if that comes through. And obviously, in addition to that, I think a key theme in an environment where growth is difficult to come by is companies that have some of their own drivers of growth, be that gaining market share in particular market segments or through self-help, if there's opportunities for cost efficiencies, margin improvement in their existing businesses.
So with that, where do you see those particular opportunities in terms of companies that have a self-help driver behind them and ones that offer perhaps deep value, considering where we are in their particular sector in this market cycle?
Yeah, I think,
Oh, John, I think you've gone silent for a second, Peter, so I'm going to throw that ball down the line, swing it down the line to you if you want to pick it up. What do you have in your bag that is potentially well-placed for a post-9 of May recovery?
So, Michael, there's kind of two tiers of shares. There's the top-quality South African incorporated shares that are actually still fairly expensive and have done pretty well in a fairly subdued economy. So we would have exposure to that, because that's where the fund is the kind of first port of call, will be the likes of a First Rand, you know, the good quality banks, a Bidvest on the industrial side, a Clicks. But the real gearing sits in companies that haven't done that well and have actually had a pretty tough time and pretty poor results over the last few years. So in that category, we put things like Massmart, Motus, Imperial, and businesses where if there is demand coming through, they've got a lot of operational gearing. And in fact, we think that those shares, you know, in a very positive scenario, have got the potential to go 30, 40, 50% from the current levels. So we're taking a kind of two-tiered approach. One is a safety first, good quality, more expensive type shares, with, you know, the foreigners, because if there is a good outcome, we think there's a fairly good chance of foreigners coming in and buying up our market, as we saw in Ramaphosa 1 and in the likes of a Brazil.
And Clicks are certainly in that category. Foreigners have always loved Clicks. Motus is an interesting one that you've mentioned that has that potential for positive jaws. And, you know, you've just got to look at anecdotally chatting to friends and colleagues about when last they replaced their vehicles. We're getting to the end of a very long replacement cycle here, and that pressure has got to be mounting. And if it's released, well, certainly we could see some really positive moves in motors as well. John, I believe we've got you back on the line to share with us which of the companies you see in the marketplace that reflect those characteristics that you mentioned of self-help, management teams who can really pull those levers that are under their control, and perhaps a bit of deep value or margin of safety.
Sure. I think one to mention is that we're invested in, and our clients invested in, is CUP Industrials. So that's a fairly diversified industrial business with a sensible management with a sort of disciplined capital allocation model. They're pretty cheap on a sort of two-year forward earnings basis, less than 10 times earnings, and a dividend yield of about just under 4.5%. Growing market share in some of their businesses, scope for some self-help through cost-cutting and driving margins up as well. And so, you know, this is a perhaps...
Oh, the signal down in Cape Town. It's not playing ball with us tonight. Peter, I'm going to have to throw the ball down the line to you again. I don't know if you want to pick up on the motor story, which, as I said earlier, it does have some very interesting macroeconomic drivers behind it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the latent demand is a huge factor. So, now, as you say, my wife's car is now 5 years old. About a year ago, when we normally replace the car, I said, well, let's just wait. And I think you can only wait for so long until you get into your motor your motor plan runs out and people are prepared to spend some money. So motor vehicle sales is always something that's been very cyclical. And, when confidence levels come back, they can go up 20 or 30% from the levels that they've been at. So, to remind listeners, Motors is imperial and bundled into two. So they've got a large motor retail portfolio, and they're also importers of Hyundai and Kia. So that's the kind of thing, if there is a change in sentiment and people become more confident, the capital spend there can increase quite dramatically.
I believe we've got John back on the line. So third time lucky there, John, to conclude that CAP story. I suppose it also doesn't hurt that they've pretty much severed their ties with Steinhoff as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that obviously gave an opportunity for us to invest in the business be at good prices and beyond that. I think that the daylight between them and Steinhoff is obviously very helpful, but this is really an independent business from Steinhoff, well run, good gearing to any pickup in the economy. Perhaps another one to mention in the deep value category is Omnia, the sort of agricultural fertilizer business. Just, obviously some bad news that they've had in terms of the agricultural sector. They're a very cyclical business, but that's just very cheap now. Obviously, with them concern about their balance sheet, probably some speculation in the market that they could have done a rights issue. But we think that the volumes will pick up now with better conditions in the agricultural sector. And it's trading on a less than 5 times price to earnings revenue. So that's another out of favor business that we've invested in.
And deep value down 31, call it 32% year to date. And it is, in terms of moats, one of those businesses that is fairly well positioned with its IP servicing mining companies, agricultural companies in the primary sector of the economy, adding a lot of margin on because of that. So that is one way to gear yourself into any turnaround in SA Inc. But Peter, to conclude now, and perhaps just get away from the company specifics, it really is heavily reliant on the president coming out and really stamping his authority on things come the announcement of his cabinet. There have been so many skeptics on the sidelines, and who can blame them? For the last 25 years, Yes, we've had periods of high growth under Thabo Mbeki. We managed to get close to the promised land of 5-6% that the NDP calls for. And those were on the back of some fairly pro-market policies. We had a veering left in 2007. And for the last 10 years, that's pretty much all we've had. So I think people's memories only go back 10 years. We don't believe that we could ever go back under the ANC to any kind of policy environment that favours business. And I'm not saying the Mbeki era was completely pro-business in any stretch, but it was a lot better than what we've seen for the last 10 years. What is your research and, more importantly, from your experience, and you've seen a few cycles, what do you think is likely to happen in this next period? Let's call it the next 100 days post the 8th of May.
So I think it's quite politically charged, and I think if there's reasonably positive support for the ANC, I think Ramaphosa is going to go all out, show some leadership, and appoint a cabinet which is business friendly. And at the same time, you know, he's a negotiator and he's a tactician. He's likely to include people who will, you know, kind of address all of the needs out there. And as long as, I mean, the big risk and the big unknown, and it's something that nobody can answer, is the kind of the anti-Ramaphosa camp within the ANC. If they can be quelled, and I think certainly since he became president, he's been playing a game of waiting for the elections to make his big moves. That's very evident. And at the same time, he's taken massive moves against corruption. But I think the implementation of the cabinet and moving forward with reforms and economically friendly policies, we think can have a fantastic positive outcome.
Peter Armitage, CEO of Anchor Capital, and John Orford, head of the Old Mutual Stable Growth Fund at Old Mutual Investment Group, with your SA Inc. share shootout here in Classic Business. We'll have to wait and see what happens on the 8th of May and the weeks and months thereafter. One is certainly hoping for that sort of outcome. Sam Mohammed is getting ready to jazz it up for you in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Stain continues to mix up some of the best classic cocktails with Classic Winding Down. Thanks for tuning in to the Classic Business Show, which was brought to you by Altron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.